1 Timothy chapter number 1. About a year and a half ago, I was going verse by verse down Timothy in audio sermons, and I'm fixing to pick them back up again, going into video messages and short messages. And I read a verse of scripture out of chapter 1, got a hold of my heart, and I preached on it to a little degree on the internet. And I've not been able to get away from that for quite some time. It bothered me, still bothers me tonight. And I hope tonight that you might see this in a different manner. This is something I don't never hear preachers preach on. It's something I look at them and they don't even mention it. And you mention it, they just kind of look at you. Most churches are not too aware of what I'm going to preach on tonight. And some of you may turn your head when I get through and label me anything you want to label me, but I know tonight that this is real. It's a problem. The reason it's such a problem is because there's so many involved in it. And when people are involved in certain things, they will not bring it out to light. And they run from it. Our politicians are mixed with all this. Churches are mixed with all this. Religions are mixed with all this. And it's just mentioned one time in the New Testament, but I'm going to give some things in the Old Testament. We're going to come through it and we're going to make a study. And by no means will I be able to exhaust this study tonight because I'm just going to scratch the surface and give you something to think on. And it's something I wouldn't want to preach on every single service, but it's something that you need to hear. And I'm saying all that to kind of brace you, and just grab a hold of your seat and hang on. I'm not trying to disturb nobody, but I'm trying to upset everybody. Now, that sounds like a contradictory statement. I don't want you to stay in the dark. I don't want you to go through life not knowing all these things that's happening in the Word of God just because you know, we read the surface of the Scripture, and sometimes we don't pay much attention to it. And there's a lot in the Word of God. Things that's happened, and when I get through tonight, you may have heard it, may not have heard it. But chances are, most of you have never heard what I'm preaching tonight. You've probably read it in the Scriptures a few times, didn't pay no attention to it, went over your head, hit you like a lead balloon, and you didn't do anything. But I pray tonight God will help us. In the book of 1 Timothy, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. Chapter number 1. Well, I'll read more than that. I think I'll go back to look at verse number 8. We'll read verse number 8, 9, 10. Those three verses tonight. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." Paul's trying to get them transitioned from law to grace. Verse 9, he's saying, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." Amen. A righteous man don't need the law. "But for the lawless and disobedient," because it's a schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. "For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." In my series of messages, I preached on murders of mothers and murders of fathers and preached on manslayers. And you don't hear much of that preached on, do you? When children kill their parents and so forth. That's a fact. Verse number 10 said, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind," that's homosexuality. The next phrase is where I'm going to deal with tonight, "for men stealers." For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I want to preach on tonight, and I would preach on any of these, but the one that's bothering me tonight is men stealers. We're going to talk about that. And I'm going to show you some things, and it's associated with other things. And the Bible's full of it. Our country's full of it. Churches are filled with it. Religions are filled with it. And we've got perversion everywhere. With our heads bowed, let's pray. Father, give us wisdom tonight. I ask you to give me help and strength and give me, Lord, that brace tonight I need and that backbone I need to stand and declare the whole counsel of God. Lord, help us tonight to not waver nor back off, but God, face it head on. Lord, that your name might be exalted. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look that word men stealers up in the concordance, or especially in Strong's, Strong's will tell you that it's something like this, slave dealers or kidnappers. You ever went into Walmart and saw those kids on the screen or on the wall and you prayed for them and wondered where they were? A lot of them are in what I'm going to talk about tonight. And then some of them lose their children and never see them again. They steal babies. Little bitty babies. I'll talk about some of that tonight. I don't want to bother you, but I want to upset you. I want you to be aware that we're fighting a devil tonight that's real. There's right and there's wrong. And God is right, the devil's wrong. There's three things that God uses throughout his Bible in a mighty way. Number one, he uses blood. He uses fire. And he uses water. And I don't have time to deal with those tonight. I'm just laying them out there so that when I get ready to preach on that, we'll go into it, all right? The devil always imitates God in everything that God does. Tries to get ahead of God, get above God, even declares that he is God sometimes, and will do that again in the future. He uses three things. He uses fire, he uses blood, and he uses water. And I'm not going to deal with them how they separate them tonight, but we will in days ahead. So taking that word men stealers out of the New Testament, I want you to slide with me into the Old Testament tonight to the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter number 21, I'm going to take my time and go as far as I can till I get tired and you get tired or, amen, you get mad at me or something and then we'll go home. Exodus chapter 21, the Bible talks about it in verse number 16. Remember this, that the Ten Commandments were given in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. God gave those Ten Commandments in chapter 20, and these are some that come right along behind it. These are not commandments, but they are commandments. They're not the original Ten Commandments, but they're commandments that hang on the commandments. And so he begins to leave and talk about the law and the judgments of God. And in Exodus chapter 21, and you can read all this whole chapter when you get home, it'd be good for you to do it. We don't have time right now. But in verse number 16 of Exodus 21, he said, "And he that stealeth a man, and selleth him," the Bible said, "or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." I want to remind you tonight that human flesh and human beings are sacred in the eyes of God. And God wants us to handle each other correctly and right. And God said here in verse 16, if a man stealeth a man, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, brings him into slavery and sells him, or if he even be found in his possession before he sells him, he's to be put to death. Amen. He's got the death penalty on him. Amen. That shows you that human life is sacred. Now let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 12, if you will. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, God gives some more things. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 31. We're going to read, and if you will, when you get home tonight, read all of that. I want us to go back and look at something in verse number 23, though, before we get there. The Bible said, only be sure that thou eat not the blood. Remember, blood is an important item in the economy of God. It was a blood sacrifice that God gave to cover Adam and Eve in their nakedness with skins of animals. And God expects blood. But the blood is sacred. Now the devil, he likes it too. We'll give you a few things about that tonight. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood. Had a little girl at work with me one time, and she is running around with a Laotian. And she was telling me, she said, they love to get in the field and kill a cow. And said they'll kill a cow, won't let none of you. And said they fight over who's going to get the blood to drink. Can you imagine that tonight? Well, don't life too much and don't draw up too much. Some of you go down to the steakhouse and you'll get a steak, and when you stick the fork in it, it says moo. That's pretty good, drinking blood. Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. In Leviticus, he said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. What do you think they do when they check your blood? The blood tells everything there is to know about you. Amen. They draw blood for everything. I go sometimes and I'll say, save me some. Amen. They just keep drawing several vials of it. And thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. You don't eat the blood with the flesh. And he goes on and tells that. In verse 27, and thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God. Now when we get to verse 31 of that same chapter 12 of the book of Deuteronomy, he said, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done under their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now the devil uses fire. He loves it. And the devil wants sacrifice of human flesh. No wonder our nation's where it's at tonight. Brother, if she's not under the hand of God and under the judgment arm of the Lord, she's certainly going to be, because God don't like people fooling around and messing with human flesh. With as many abortions we have every day of our life and every year, and they're offering these little babies, innocent babies. Now the Lord God wanted innocent animals. The Lord God wanted innocent animals. Can I tell you that? The Lord God wanted innocent animals to pay the price and to cover our sin till he could come and pay the price in full. But the devil wants a sacrifice too. And he's having a heyday today with the abortion crowd. And I'm going to be jumping back from one side to the other. I'm going to give you some things that ought to be alarming to you. These things bother me and upset me, and I get so disturbed. Brother, I don't feel comfortable preaching this, except I know I have to. In Deuteronomy chapter number 18, slide over to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll see something else about this tonight. It's a little bit, I'm just taking it straight through as we go, and jumping from one side to the other. In the 18th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, in verse number 10, the Bible said, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. You said, what would make a man or a woman that has children to make their children pass through the fire. Amen. Satan. Amen. I'm talking about full of the devil. Offering sacrifice. Those who have sold themselves out to the devil himself. And brother, we've got multitudes in our country that have sold their soul to the devil in America. Amen. And I know that, and brother, it bothers me, and I realize this today, and I'll put this on the internet, and I'll be one of the first targets for for a lot of things, but I want you to know, brother, the Bible's true. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, look at Deuteronomy chapter 24. We'll go to verse number 7. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 24:7, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die and thou shalt put evil away from among you. God hates murder and the taking of human lives. God hates human trafficking. God hates sex trafficking. God hates pedophilia. God hates pedophiles. God will save them. But I want to tell you something tonight. This is not something we can laugh at or play with. And our nation's filled with it. They talk about, have you noticed in the news lately, this is one thing that's caused me to get on this, and I guess bother me to where God brings it up. Have you noticed they've had cracked a few little rings of certain ones where they found children, missing children, and they are. And brother, I'll tell you, when you see some of the things and hear some of the things that they do, it'll curl your hair if you got any. Amen. I want you to know some of the stuff. Now, let's slide over to the book of, let's see, 2 Kings, please. In the book of 2 Kings, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to look at these things. I'm going to give you some things tonight. It ought to bother you. When people like Epstein, amen, has been found out, reckon why he left this life. Brother, I'll tell you what, he is going to tell on so many. They knew that was probably a real problem, and somebody took him out of here to get rid of so they could stay alive. And the wickedness and the terribleness tonight of sin. That's what sin is. You say what you want to. But I want to tell you something. These people hide. These people stay by themselves. They cover themselves and they cover their friends. And you'd be surprised at the people that are involved. I'm not making no accusations tonight, but I'm telling you, you'd be surprised at the people if God pulled the cover off tonight that's involved in this kind of junk. All right? In 2 Kings 16. 2 Kings 16, you said, preacher, you're getting kind of beside yourself with it. Yes, sir. I despise it. I hate it. Brother, if I knew anything about it going on around me, brother, I'll tell you. And if there's anybody here guilty, I hope so. Hope there's not. If I were to find about it, brother, you might as well get a hold of me and kill me because I'm going to tell on you. And if they don't come quick enough, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm not a violent man. Amen. Anybody treat kids and people like they treat them? And I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. In 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 3, the Bible said, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before from before the children of Israel. It's one of the turn of the last century we had. I was reading, I believe it was the Aztecs or somebody. They would take their children and worship to their gods, small g. And they would take their children and put them in the water, in the river, and sacrifice their children to their gods. There again, the devil likes water. God uses water for judgment and cleansing. Amen. Not the soul, but he cleanses through the water of his word. And but they have done that. You've probably read and heard of different religions that have sacrificed their children to the water. These are sacrificed to the fire. What did they do in the Old Testament time with the Israelites? They sacrificed an animal and sacrificed it by fire to their God, our God, Jehovah. But the devil does the same thing. I tell you, there's a correlation between these things. Now, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17. Some of you said, well, I've seen that in the scriptures, but I hadn't paid much attention to it. That's the problem. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now there's people that loves the devil enough that they want to just plain out provoke God. The devil will look at you sometimes and provoke God and life about it. I've heard of atheists calling and said, if there is a God, why don't he strike me dead right now? And they're provoking God. But you also find some people tonight that would provoke God to follow their devil. Now, that's what these did. In chapter number 21 of 2 Kings, and I'm not giving you all the scriptures, I'm just giving you some to start you on your study. Chapter 21 in verse 6 said, and he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And you find out this was Manasseh. Verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. Look at verse 2, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. We've kind of seen that kind of a thing happen here. We changed from one administration to another administration. One did some of the things that was right in the sight of the Lord, and now we've got one that does that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And America's been that way for years, off and on, up and down. And so what happened, you find in verse 4, he built altars in the house of the Lord. Amen. And then we find that when he did that, he began to sin and have his son pass through the fire. Now I'm going to give you this tonight in 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Some of this will be a repeat. It's just mentioned in another place, but I want you to go to chapter 28 of the book of 2 Chronicles. This is a different king, but notice what it said in chapter 28 in verse 1. And Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Brother, when you find somebody today that makes images of a false god, I want you to know they're in trouble. And the people around them are going to be in trouble. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images. See it? Read it twice for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord hath cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills an evergreen tree. Is this informative? Is this necessary and needful? Every child of God needs to see these things. How many times have you heard preachers preaching this? They won't preach it. It's not popular. It's not exciting. Actually, it's bothersome. Amen. And you can read on. Let's slide over to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7 tonight, in verse number 31. Jeremiah 7:31. Notice what it says. And they have built in the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. They would burn their sons and their daughters. You've got to be mighty low, stoop mighty low, be very wicked. Amen. Wicked is the devil himself tonight to make your children be burnt. Amen. Why, you're sitting there tonight, some of you are saying, I don't see how anybody could do that. Ain't you saying that? But they do. It's all around us tonight. And you don't pay much attention to it. Amen. It's in the high-ups. I noticed somebody on the police force was arrested for that the other day. Not burning kids, but child trafficking. I noticed that big groups and corporations and some of those times, did you know there's multi-million dollars passed? That's why they want wars a lot of times in other countries, because when wars are going on, they can pass these and traffic these kids. I'll tell you, it's not a little bitty small business. And you can go back me up tonight, or you can criticize me if you want to, but if you got any way of looking it up, look it up, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be surprised of the things that I ain't mentioning. Amen. In chapter 7, verse 31 of Jeremiah, verse 32 said, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And he talks about their carcasses, and God gives them that. But slide over into chapter 32 of Jeremiah. I'm just giving you a few scriptures, and we could stay a long time on this, and I guess you might already think I've already read too many of them, but that's all right. You ain't got enough yet. Chapter 32 and verse 35 says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And I can talk about the valley of Hinnom, but we don't have time for that. To cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So you see it there. Now go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, God's recorded this all through the Old Testament. You think it quit doing it in the New Testament? No, sir. Amen. Don't you get so naive tonight to think that, oh, we are such good people in the day of grace. It's still going on. In Ezekiel chapter number, let's see, chapter number 16 and verse number 20. In Ezekiel 16:20, the Bible said, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? It's not, is it? It's not a small matter. And they sacrificed those children, their sons and their daughters. You're mighty low to sacrifice your children to the devil. Look at chapter 20 of the book of Ezekiel. And let's look at verse 26. Chapter 20 and verse number 26. And the Bible said, and I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. So it's going on further and further. Verse 31. For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be required of by you, O house of Israel? Or inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. God's laying it out pretty straight. Well, let me just give you something out of the book of Matthew, and then we'll total all this up together. We'll get us a sum total, and I'm just going to scratch it just a little bit and go home. And we'll look at Matthew. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, you don't find in the New Testament where they passed them through the fire of their children, but you find them doing it. Look at chapter 17 and verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Amen. He had a devil. You see what happens? The devil's involved in fire and water. Now that's a subject by itself that I hadn't preached on. We're going to. When we look at these things, it's important. So we find these things. Now human trafficking. I looked it up. You look it up when you get home. Human trafficking, here is the definition. Human trafficking is the recruitment, the transportation, the transfer, the harboring or receipt of persons for the purpose of exploitation. I'm going to read that again because I know most of that went over your head. You don't even remember the first word I said. Human trafficking is the recruitment. Doing whatever you have to do to get them. Internet, popsicles, jewelry, money, jobs, fame, fortune. Well, that's one of the things to keep them with. We're going to get in that in just a minute. And recruitment. And then after they recruit them, they have to put them somewhere. Transportation. Then they get them where they're going to take them to, and they transfer them. And when they transfer, then what they do is they harbor the receipt of these people for the purpose of making money off of them or doing something with them for their own selfish desires or whatever. They bring them into this country, and most of them comes from other places, but they are out of the United States. I preached on this similarly close to it about a year and a half ago. Some of you don't even remember it, but I touched on it. Not as in depth as I have tonight. But they bring young girls, innocent girls, from other countries. Not only just them, we'll talk about others in just a minute if I have time, and don't forget it. And the Holy Spirit reminds me, I'll tell you. They bring girls into this country. You know why most folks want the borders open? Get votes, everybody says, and that's a cover-up, most of it. But what they're doing is bringing in these people from other countries. And when they bring them in, they put them in different towns and states of America, and you lose sight of them. Think about sometime a few months back when they was bringing them in by the bus loads, and they was taking them from one state to another state, and everybody said, oh, they shouldn't do that. And they did it whether you wanted to be, where you had anything to do with it, where it was legal or illegal. And we call them illegal aliens. You know why they want the borders open? Is to keep their sex trafficking going. You know why they hated the wall? Slowed it down. Now you can think what you want to, but I'm telling you some facts tonight, and if you don't believe it, you go study it out and dig it out. And I tried to do my homework before I get here, and I believe you'll find I'm just a scratching the surface of what I'm saying. And they bring these girls in from other countries, promise them a lot of things, and I'll tell you what those are in just a minute. And when they do that, they put them into prostitution. And the prostitution rings are big and heavy in this country. They not only use them for prostitution and the boys they bring them into, but they use them for forced labor. There are a lot of them on jobs today, and they're working for people, and they're getting their money. They're keeping them alive. It's forced labor, and somebody's pocketing their money and putting it in their pocket, and they're treating them and giving them just what they need to get by with. They also bring them into this country for organ removal. To take organs out of their body to give to somebody else, which is illegal and awful. Study it out. And they also will treat these people just like they're disposable humans. Many of these children are young, and some of them are, they bring in some and they got people in other countries and probably have them in America too. I would not be a bit surprised, but they have them where they're bringing babies in the world without birth certificates, especially in other countries. Then they can do what they want to with them here, and in America when they get through with them, they can discard them. And nobody knows anything about it's ever happened. That's going on! Can I wake you up? It's happening. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe you anymore." What's wrong? You was believing me before. I wasn't lying to you then, and I'm not lying to you now. Search it out. They also like little babies. They get little babies, and they bring them in and they'll offer them as sacrifice to Satan. Catch their blood and offer them as sacrifices. And there's a lot. Put them in cages. Study it out. Look it up. You'll find them in cages. Put them in little cages. And from one to two, sometimes they make it to two. Sometimes they make it to four. Sometimes they make it to six or eight. But they'll get them before and they're gone. Human trafficking. Amen. They have all kinds of tricks to allure them. They'll lure their older, and they do men and women. They don't just get babies and kids. They get men and women. You get them in some of the foreign countries. America's terrible in sin. But it's a better place to live than any other place on the face of the earth. And these people like to come to this country and they're promised they're going to make a living and they're going to get to be something. And so what they do, they promise them. And then they get over here and they control them by two or three things. Number one, debt bondage. They get in debt. So they keep them out of debt. They keep paying them, give them everything. And when you get to down, brother, when you get to the bottom and you ain't got no money to buy a cup of water, you ain't got enough money to buy a piece of bread. I'll tell you, you can become slaves to an individual that can give you water and bread. You ain't got no money, so they keep you in debt bondage. They also get them and they whip them and hurt them. Use violence to keep them. Number three is Brother Bobby said, well, they keep them on drugs. They drug them up. Now I want you to look this up tonight. The global estimation for slavery, global, I said global. You know what global is, don't you? Round the world. Now don't go out and lie on me and say everybody, I mean the preacher said this happened in America. I'm giving you a global figure. I looked at several places. They say there's anywhere from 21 to 27 million slaves worldwide that somebody has hoodwinked and got into slavery. That's a lot of people. Now, when you got 21 to 27, and they're making merchandise of them, somebody's getting rich. You know why it's hard to break the circle? You know why it's hard to break out sin and why it's hard to clean the house? When you go to monkeying with this right here, I don't care how big a politician they are. Can't I hear a good amen right there?
Amen.
That's where it comes from. They say that there's 2.5 million added to this number every single year. Now, some are marked off because they die or get sacrificed. Now they only sacrifice the littlest to their God, which is Satan, but they'd rather have them in human trafficking that they can make money off. They're using the internet. Some of you little old girls and boys are listening to this outfit and they get caught all the time, but there's not to most of them get caught. Little boys and girls said, I don't like what mama says and daddy says. I don't like the way things are going around here. And they get on the internet and next thing you know, somebody's promising them the world. They're packing their bags and they're going down the road and you never see them again. That's happening every day of your life. And so your child becomes a picture on the wall at Walmart. They say 50,000 are added to the human trafficking a year in the United States of America alone. Now, wouldn't it be good for us to say that don't happen? But it does. Some are, as I started to say a while ago, are made and got together where that they produce children. And every time they have a child, they take that child, put it into human trafficking. And that's what they've got them. They done trafficked them and got them hooked. And all they're doing is producing babies to be used in sacrifices. Tell me that ain't happening. I wish you could tell me and know tonight for sure. But you can't. Amen. You got so many of these outfits sitting on the computer screen with child porn. And a pedophilia and pedophiles. Got pedophiles. You know what? Pedophiles are those who are grown, mature, that have a sexual desire for children. And they say they rape kids and babies from 6 months to 2 years and 3 years. God has to move in to do something like that. Amen. And they say right now that human trafficking is more prevalent now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Did I upset you?
Yeah.
Amen. I hope I did.
Yeah.
Were you not aware of some of that? The devil likes to get us to think it don't happen. We like to think that we're pretty good sinners in America. But when you're killing babies second after second, human trafficking, three things I want to tell you in this right here. The brother, I'll tell you right now, will get God's attention in a quick hurry over a nation. Killing of innocent babies. This human trafficking and homosexuality. Those are perversions that God did not intend. And if you think God ain't upset tonight, you better go drink you a gallon of buttermilk and go to bed and dream on it a while and get up tomorrow with a better mind. It's happening. And you wonder why us preachers wondering or burdened and troubled all this and this kind of stuff burdens me. Amen. I suppose that's more than you can handle for tonight. We'll quit right there. That's enough to chew on for a day or two. I pray tonight that God will help you. Don't you wish preachers would preach this all over our country? Now what happens is when you preach this and tell it, you end up being the villain. You've been in the... Listen, this will not make me popular. This will not make people like me more. It'll make them want to hate me more. And you think tonight that, now God will bless me, but you think tonight the devil's going to back off? Nope. Amen. I don't like to preach these messages, but somebody's got to preach them. Stand, please.